we're joined now by Monica Johnson and Linda Meredith. They are affiliated with HEROES. That's helping everyone receive ongoing effective support. And we'll begin with Monica, who is the founder and executive director. She is focused on improving the physical, economic, and social health of people impacted by HIV/AIDS in rural Louisiana. In her journey, Monica's began with a letter in 1985 that informed her that the person whose blood she received during a hospital stay the previous year had died of AIDS. 4 years later, Monica learned she was pregnant and her son was born HIV positive in 1990. He died 3 years and 6 months of age from HIV/AIDS complications, and through these experiences, Monica quickly learned about the absence of services and the prevalence of stigma surrounding HIV in rural Louisiana. Monica, good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is an amazing backstory you have, and it's unbelievable what happened to you, but it's happened to other people too, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's happened a lot of times.
So this caused you to swing into action. How has it been in your process as now the founder and executive director of this group, HEROES?
This has been one of the most difficult journeys, I'll say. I have one of the most difficult journeys because this is a very, funding is really tight and it's still something people don't want to talk about.
Well, we're also joined by Linda Meredith. She is HEROES Research and Development Director. Linda has been an HIV advocate for almost 30 years. Her work includes consulting for the Centers for Disease Control during the change of definition process and grant reviewer for the first ever long-term observational study of HIV-positive women. Linda has also worked to develop educational materials on behalf of both pharmaceutical clients and HIV advocacy organizations. Linda, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, this work continues. HIV/AIDS was a major issue in the 1980s. It was something we talked about a lot, not as much anymore, but it really is an epidemic in our midst.
That's correct. And while much progress has been made, we didn't see that kind of progress in the rural areas where Monica works. And so a first ever report on a comparison of rural Louisiana versus the metropolitan cities proved out that there is not much progress being made at all in the rural Louisiana northeast areas.
That's the poorest area of the country, the Delta region of Louisiana.
That's correct.
And your report is one state, two epidemics. What do the numbers show?
Well, the numbers show that 15% of people who live with HIV and AIDS in Louisiana live in rural areas. And it shows that if we compare that rural area to Baton Rouge or to New Orleans, that the people in rural northeast Louisiana are exposed to more risk factors, have fewer resources, are younger at diagnosis, are more likely to have AIDS at the first HIV-positive test, and are 1.6 times the AIDS mortality rate that we see in the larger areas. So all devastating conclusions and something that needs to be addressed.
So what happens when somebody gets diagnosed in northeast Louisiana? Where do they go for treatment?
There's one area in northeast Louisiana that provides treatment and care for HIV-positive people. And based on the sheer geographical size of that region, people have to drive long distances to be able to get care. They have to come to multiple appointments before they are placed on antiretroviral treatment.
What happens to people who have so few resources to address this, Linda?
Well, because there's the perfect storm of every kind of HIV at-risk signifier that happens in northeast Louisiana, that meaning higher rates of poverty, higher rates of homelessness, higher rates of incarceration, those all converge into an epidemic that is unique and unfortunately growing. Many of the people are left behind. Many can't access care, and the mortality rates in the northeast of Louisiana are 1.6 times higher than they are in either Baton Rouge or New Orleans.
Louisiana ranks first in the United States, first in new HIV infections. And this is something that affects people in rural Louisiana on a profound basis, and this comes on the heels of study after study through the years showing Baton Rouge and New Orleans being in the top three cities in the country. So if it's worse there than it is here, it must really be a significant issue.
That's correct. So the reports that recently came out this summer tracking HIV and AIDS in the nation, and specifically Louisiana, report some progress, actually. So 14% of new infections are down. The new infections are down in Louisiana overall by 14%. Yet when we look at rural northeast Louisiana, they're up by almost 1%. So that's one of the reasons we titled the report One State, Two Epidemics, because what's happening in rural Louisiana is vastly different than what's happening in the major cities there.
Monica Johnson, who we started with, is the founder, and she has experienced HIV/AIDS in a way that nobody would want to. And as stated, it's not unique to her. She got a blood transfusion that caused her to be exposed to it, and then her son was born HIV positive in 1990. How are you doing, Monica?
I'm good.
So it is interesting. You are not HIV positive?
I am HIV positive, but I have high T cells and I'm virally suppressed.
So and this was in 1990, right? So we're talking 27 years.
1990 was when I had my son, got pregnant with my son. I had the blood transfusion in 1984.
So 33 years. And as far as your everyday life experience, are you affected by this at all?
I would like to say, I would say I blame a lot of stuff on HIV, but I'm also older now. I'm past the five-zero mark, so I don't know which it is, HIV or the age.
Well, as far as the kind of treatment that you've had over the last 33 years to enable you to be relatively healthy you say, past the 5-0 mark, how have you been able to receive that kind of treatment in an area like the one we've discussed? You live in an area not as urban as the one I'm in. How have you done it?
I have been... I've called in a lot of favors from people I knew, because I have gone, it was time that I was not on medication because of our state didn't have Medicaid expansion. So there were several months that I didn't have. I've been in studies at NIH where I was afforded the opportunity, mm-hmm. and they gave me my medicine. And I've had insurance through the Ryan White Care Act.
How did you respond when you were told of this?
When I first was diagnosed, when I first received my letter, I was in school at then ULM, and I was in college. So I did what I was like, this doesn't apply to me, because at the time, all they said it was a white gay man's disease. I'm not white and I'm not gay. So I said, this does not apply to me. And when I was retested, I was tested, and my test was inconclusive, and I got retested when I became pregnant in 1990, and that's when it was confirmed that I was positive.
But you originally were informed by letter?
Yes.
That's kind of an impersonal way to inform somebody of this.
Yeah, it was still very new, and I guess that's the way they did it.
But this has prompted you to swing into action. It's a mission for you, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. Because I am very outspoken, and I I know that I'm still here because this is a mission, and because I am compliant, I do take care of myself. I will ask questions, but I have ran across so many people who don't. If you tell them this is what you have to do, they think there are no other choices, so they just do it.
Now, Linda, this report is out today, and we will talk a bit more about it before we part company with you and Monica, but there will be a U.S. conference on AIDS next month, in fact, September 7th through the 10th. Will this be discussed at that conference?
Well, one of the reasons that we released this report just prior to the conference is that if you look at the conference schedule, and this has been true actually for many conferences in the past, there's nothing that discusses or reports on HIV and AIDS in the rural areas of this country, never mind the rural deep south. And so we have made this report available to begin the discussions of what needs to be done now that we have done the research to lay out the facts before the experts.
Well, the report shows that while Louisiana had an overall decline in new HIV/AIDS diagnoses from 2014 to 2015, 14%, Baton Rouge and New Orleans showed a decrease of 1.3%. In rural areas, the AIDS and HIV diagnoses increased. So this is an area where people may not be as aware of the risks and may not have the resources to combat this dread disease. Now, what about prevention? How is that stressed in rural Louisiana, if at all?
Well, there are two tracks that are discussed for prevention. One is for people who are at high risk to be on what's called pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is PrEP. And there is one place in northeast rural Louisiana where you can access PrEP, but there are no places where you see a physician outside of the HIV continuum that will discuss PrEP with a person who might be at risk. So that's one thing. The other thing is if your virus is undetectable, known as virologic suppression, there is no chance that you can transmit the virus to another person. So given the fact that there are numbers of people who are virologically suppressed in northeast rural Louisiana are 10 percentage points lower than other places in the state.
Monica has told us her dramatic story of being impacted by HIV/AIDS through a blood transfusion in 1984. She did have a son, Varis, who was born HIV positive, and he died. I would imagine that was a devastating experience for you, Monica.
Yes, it was. It was, but he taught me so much while he was here.
What did he teach you?
Well, at the time, I didn't have to worry. I didn't worry about myself. I was worrying about him because he was, at the time, he was getting all the no's. They didn't, the town that I live in actually ostracized us, asked us to leave. They didn't want him to go to school with other kids. They didn't want him to do a lot of things. So that's what actually started the whole everything, because not at the time it wasn't heroes, but that's what started the fight within me, because I wanted him to have every opportunity that everybody else had. And so I started advocating on his behalf. And then when he passed, then I realized there were a lot of other people who, if their kids, because there were a lot of babies at the time, and if their kids were diagnosed and they were told no, they would just go with it. And that's what made me start trying to help others.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in our remaining time with Monica Johnson and Linda Meredith of Heroes. And Mike in Plaquemine. Good morning, Mike. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Fine.
You know, it's a shame that HIV/AIDS are still killing people after all these years. And they got medication that will prevent you from getting it. And the name of it is it's slipping my mind right now. I forgot the name of it, but it stops you from getting it.
All right, is that an accurate statement? Thank you, Mike. Linda, is that accurate that there is medication to prevent you from getting HIV and AIDS?
Well, there are two ways to prevent HIV and AIDS. One is PrEP, which I believe your caller was referring to. The problem in Northeast Louisiana is that you have to know about PrEP and be able to access it to things which aren't happening there. The other way to prevent new infections is for the people who are already infected to be on treatment and be successfully have their virus suppressed below detectable levels. And in Northeast Louisiana, only 51% of people have virologic suppression. The numbers in the larger cities are 10% higher.
So how does PrEP work?
Well, PrEP is an antiretroviral and HIV medication, and it's prophylaxis, basically. It prevents you from getting HIV because you're already taking and your body is loaded, so to speak, with medications that fight the virus.
Many rural parts, the study says, have only one choice for HIV testing within a 640-square-mile area.
That's true, and that's one of the things that needs to be addressed in rural parts of the state and our country, which is that solutions that have worked in metropolitan areas don't work in rural parts of our state or nationally. You can't expect someone to drive that far just to receive an HIV test. So when we talk about broadening the geography, something has to change. We either need mobile testing sites or some other mechanism to make it easy for people to get an HIV test if they feel they are at risk.
The report is One State, Two Epidemics, produced by HEROES, the group that we're talking with, Monica and Linda about. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. What about condom use? A listener asks. That's still a way to prevent AIDS from happening through sexual transmission. Is that something that is still being stressed?
Yes, and especially in the absence of the willingness of an area to provide PrEP. Condoms are cheap. In some cases, they're free. But as we have seen before the advent of PrEP, they are also not as successful in terms of use, breakage, forget, things like that. So, indeed, condoms are prevention. But the newest way to prevent HIV is through at-risk folks taking PrEP.
Is there any other state, Linda, that has the same kinds of issues that we have in Louisiana?
So right behind Louisiana is Georgia. And at a cursory look of rural Georgia, it seems that the exact same things are happening. We need to have this report be the first step in looking at more detail in the deep rural South of what's happening. Many people are calling for an end to the AIDS crisis by 2030, but that will never happen unless we begin to look honestly and carefully at the rural areas of our country.
A listener asks about the high prison incarceration rate in Louisiana. Is that a factor?
It is a factor, and the incarceration rate in rural Louisiana is higher than in metropolitan cities. What happens when folks are incarcerated is that they are tested, but oftentimes they are not treated. Also, if folks are in short-term types of incarceration situations and they're HIV positive and they're released out into the community, there is again that chance of that person being able to infect another.
Marie in Baton Rouge asks about needle exchange programs and sex education. What about those?
So many have proven that needle exchange, A, does not increase drug use, but B, definitely reduces the number of infections. It's illegal in Louisiana. And there is only abstinence-only education, as many of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware, in our school system. So you would have to really diligently seek out information about HIV prevention, because you're not going to get it while you're in school.
Is this something that's talked about as often as it should? I mentioned that in Baton Rouge, it's not mentioned a lot, and here we are in top two or three cities in the country in rate of AIDS. It's something that probably should be discussed more so than it is. How is it in the rural parts of our state?
Monica, why don't you talk about that? Because you have done a lot of work with at-risk teens.
It's not talked about at all in our area. There are no, I travel with Heroes and with a couple of other organizations, and there are billboards, there are commercials, there are a lot of things, advertisements, where you'll see stuff about prevention. In our areas, there's nothing.
What can be done to change that?
Well, we're hoping that this first ever look will spawn some attention to the rural areas of the Deep South. It's the first ever time that we have looked at the specific numbers in the rural areas of the Deep South. And while Heroes is a small and smart organization, it's going to now be up to people with more political capital, more financial capital, to be able to help stem the tide of the epidemic in the rural areas.
Another listener, David, asks about various demographic groups. This is now a disease that affects everybody. Is that correct?
Everybody, meaning straight people, women, men, gay men.
Older people, younger people. Everybody.
Yes. So everybody is at risk for HIV. That's true. I would say, though, that in Monica's region, while 30% of people are African American, they account for 98% of the HIV and AIDS diagnoses in that area.
Wow. 98% in the rural region of Northeast Louisiana, the diagnoses are African Americans. Monica Johnson and Linda Meredith, it's been good talking with
you. Thanks for having us.